Hello and welcome to the V2 Fancast Extra Time. We're talking the Liverpool Fancast here. There's a few things we brushed on but didn't really get into much detail on, so we're going to look into them here. We're going to look at Brendan Rodgers, but firstly, you mentioned not being a fan of Jordan Henderson. There's a lot of Liverpool fans out there who disagree. So where do you stand on the player?
The terrible trio, the tremendously awful triad in Henderson, Lucas and Allen, they're not of the caliber that you want in a European team that would go into Europe and dominate the football league and stuff like that. They're very, very average players.
Well, he was signed for a big fee. I think it was about 18 million Henderson was signed for. A lot of Liverpool fans would disagree with you on that.
I'll give it this back. I mean, it is a wonderful stat here. Henderson is actually Alan Lucas and Alan, they've never actually won anything with Liverpool Football Club.
True, that is true.
No, I'll give you with the Henderson one, right? We came very close. We did come close. We played in the Capital Cup final against Cardiff City. He started the game, Henderson did. Yeah, he started. We went 1-0 down. And this is a fact. We took him off. He was off the pitch 5 minutes. We equalised and then we went on to penalties and we went on to win the thing.
Mm-hmm.
But he wasn't actually a part of a Liverpool winning team at that time in that cup final. So I know it's a bit of a long stretch of the imagination not on that one, like, but it is a fact. He's not won a trophy like to be there in a sense with Liverpool as like a winner, you know what I mean? Because he hasn't got it in him, and he never will. So I see it really at the moment as a blessing in disguise, and please, if they say, oh well, we became second in the league, and because he dropped out for the last 4 or 5 games, he was badly missed, blah 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 blah. Well, again, I mean, in that season, I mean, you've got Suarez and Sturridge absolutely on fire. But for as many goals we scored and we're leaking goals because we couldn't defend ourselves anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And we were getting results like we did yesterday too often under Brendan Rodgers under that in that particular season, where we were expected to win games and we could have won games comfortably, but we didn't. We were losing games and we were throwing games away and we were drawing games. And given the lack of cup football we had that season, we should have won that football league with at least 4 or 5 games to go. At a canter, we should have won it, but we didn't. And then we left it to the last two games or so on a slip up at Chelsea, and then that fiasco down at Crystal Palace just sealed our fate, and that was it.
Well, let's talk about that. You bring it up because Brendan Rodgers has been criticised. Well, at the time he was praised, but now people say, oh, it was only because of Suarez and Sturridge. Do you think that's a bit unfair towards him? Or
No, I'd say that, well, again, I'd say that's absolutely nailed on. I mean, what's he ever won? Come on, what has Brendan Rodgers ever won?
Yeah,
I'll tell you what he did do. He took over a Swansea City side. He was battling for promotion in the Championship. He got to the playoff finals. He's got a playoff winner's medal, the winning in the playoffs. He never come up naturally through promotion. He won the playoff final. That's his only claim to fame. He held Swansea City to be mid to lower table, you know, mediocre, and then he was handed the Liverpool job way out of the league. And he goes on to show it, because, I mean, if you can't go and go out and win a league title when you've got players scoring goals for fun all over the place, and then your defending is that bad that you scored, you're leaking in just as many goals. I think we conceded more goals that season than we've ever conceded, and yet we scored more goals than we'd ever scored, and we just couldn't put games to bed because we weren't in any cup competitions, we weren't in Europe, we went out of the FA Cup fourth round, we went out the Capital Cup third round or something like that. We went, you know, we had a clear run on it. I don't credit him, and plus some of his quotes, honestly, they're just outrageously, you know, he's embarrassing. You listen to him, I wouldn't be able to put up with a team talk on.
Do you think he did anything good at the club, or are you just completely negative about him now?
Sorry, yeah, I don't think he did anything at all at the club, no. I really don't.
Okay, so...
he didn't do a thing. He didn't handle the press very well. And the way he treated towards the end, he sent Gary McAllister out to speak on his behalf. You know what I mean? The last but one game before he got sacked. You know, because he couldn't face the fans. You know, you go, 120 minutes against a fourth division side. You know what I mean? Or the old fourth division style. The mid-table in the fourth division, and you go 120 minutes and you can't score a goal against them. And then you have to take it to penalties to put them out. It's just, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Well,
it sounds a bit of a pointless question, but what do you make of his sacking? Do you think it was the right time and that?
Yeah, I do. Because had Klopp gone elsewhere, I think we would have been seriously searching.
Do you think it was because Klopp became available the club suddenly turned around and got rid of Rodgers at that point?
I think his results and his record were speaking for itself. Body language, the way the team was performing, he should have gone. He should have been sacked at the end of the season. I mean, the display that we had down at the Emirates there was woeful, and then the way we got beat at Stoke City was absolutely a nightmare. And his excuses, he actually came out, and this is fact, he came out at his press conference, and he said, "All right, ladies and gentlemen," and he said, "I'll fully accept if I get sacked today, I fully accept all responsibility if I get sacked today. That's all I want to say at this moment in time. That's what I want to say." If that's going to be my manager, if that's going to be my leader in the dressing room, going to inspire me to pull out performances in the pre-season and in the following season, and he's already prepared his own, I accept I should be sacked.
Mm-hmm.
That is not leadership quality. You know what I mean? You don't want that anywhere near the dressing room. You really, really don't.
Would you have sacked him earlier if it was your call?
I had a lot of sacking at the end of the season. Just had to win, that's it.
Okay.
But that didn't happen. And I think the timing was perfect, really, because Klopp wanted a break from football. He got his break from football. He had a good look at the bill. He didn't exactly want to sign immediately. I think he was negotiating for a 5-day period. And then he went right in.
I guess it's the best man for the job in your view, I presume.
Yeah, I mean, even the Manchester United supporters, I believe, have been quotes on Twitter saying, "I wish we would have had Klopp because, they're getting bored to death with the Dutch fellas on them."
Yeah.
They don't seem to be able to score goals and they get all these draws and this, that, the other, and throw a possession they haven't got to go. You can't be as clinical and finishing off and this, that, the other. But, Klopp, let's get right here, Anthony. Klopp has got a lot of hard work to do here. If we look at our string of results, right, we got beat against Palace. We had all the possession. We couldn't break them down. And we were well beaten. We had all the possession against Swansea. Swansea were very dangerous when we got amongst them. Swansea were unfortunate not to get something out of that game. And we got a very fortunate penalty against Swansea. If you look at, the game against Newcastle, we got exactly what we got, which was nothing. We didn't deserve anything after the game because the league set up and lined up.
So how long do you give Klopp in charge before you start asking questions? Because at the moment, I suppose it's not fair to judge because it's not his squad.
I think it'd be unfair because he's inherited a Brendan Rodgers team and whatever the backroom people who ever buy up at Anfield, whatever that hierarchy is on the policy of buying players. It's a, you know, it's not just the manager's decision on it. He doesn't get that anymore. It seems to be other people who are involved in it now and buying players in the backroom staff or whatever it will be. So he's inherited that. And I'm pretty sure come the opening of the transfer window, I think money will be made available to him. I think he'll spend it wisely. I do think a number of players have told him you won't come on back again. You know, you're going to be dropped, you're going to be gone. We do have a great dynamic there within Liverpool Football Club. If you look at the quality of the players that could produce, you know, young Klein, as you mentioned, Gomez, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You got that Smith who came on, you're a nice young lad, and looks like he knows how to put a trot in. You know, we've got Flanagan waiting to come back. He's a young lad, he's been out for a long time, and he's had a serious injury. It looks like he's going to be old and shortly back in training. So,
are there any
and the potential for team, George Nyden, Firmino, Lallana, Coutinho, Young, Origi. You've got the essence there of a really, really good dynamic. And, you know, I'm not a fan of this Alberto Moreno as a defender, but we could switch roles with him and say, I'll tell you what, just play it as a winger. Play it as a winger and forget about it. And unfortunately, I wish we would have done that with Glenn Johnson when we had Glenn Johnson. Glenn Johnson was a lovely lad on the wing. He cut inside, he'd go around the man, he'd pick a pass, he'd hit the ball, but he couldn't defend.
Are there any players in particular you work well that should be worried about their Liverpool careers?
Well, I shouldn't say worried. I think I'd like to see them up the gate, really. I'd like to see do away with the Lucas fella. He can't kick the ball, he can't tackle, he gives fouls and big form. Sometimes he shouldn't even be on the pitch at times. He's that ridiculous, stupid with his tackling and his petulance. And Joe Allen, obviously. If he's going to have one decent, if you're going to get one decent game out of a player over four seasons, three seasons, and he can only produce one decent game, which is say at Southampton, and it's a cup game, it's an open game, it's ding dong each way. Teams, you know, if the ball's in open play with cup football, you'll notice that yourself. It's a little bit more different than when you're playing with football than what it is. We've grown the speed and the pace in the game. There's still a lot of cat and mouse in that. It's a cup of football, it's once it gets going, it's an open game. Anybody on the day can take it, you know?
Uh-huh.
And if, you know, and if you can only produce one decent performance and just revert back to just like, you know, just how bad he is, which he did, that was all to see. So, yeah, I'd like to see him gone. I'd like to say quietly goodbye to George Anderson. And then give the youngsters in the back room a go and a crack at it. And look to strength and see what he can buy in German football.
Okay, I want to just talk about some players who left the club in the summer. Steven Gerrard's the obvious place to start. What did you make of his departure?
As he said in his book or on that, not to quote him, he would have been quite happy to have stayed if he'd have been guaranteed, you know, first team football. And certainly Steven Gerrard, if he would have stayed. He could have done the role Lucas did yesterday with Ara Plum. He might have been quick, but I'll tell you what, he'd have put a tackle in.
Do you think he still had something to offer then, definitely?
Yes, definitely, yeah. His morale alone in the dressing room, his morale alone under the Klopp regime his enthusiasm, you know, for a 35-year-old, he's kept himself in reasonably good shape over the last 4 or 5 seasons.
Well, he's back at the club, isn't he? Training with the club.
Well, he'll be morale building, he'll be training with the lads, he'll get to know them. A lot of them he'll already know anyway. He'll be back with his family and enjoying his, you know, it'll be his first Christmas off as a professional. So he's got a lot to look forward to. Playing services on plastic pitches isn't going to do him any good.
When he eventually retires, presumably at LA Galaxy, do you think he should be offered a coaching role or something at the club, doing a similar to what Biggs is doing? You know,
I would. I'd like to bring him in. I'd bring him up to the coach. Yeah, I would.
Okay.
But not only him. I'd like to do if you could do it. Gary Neville and get Carragher to pack his microphone in and to come and do a coaching role at Liverpool as well, because you know they're both very knowledgeable in the game and they have that steel about them. Mm. Like, you know, if you've been in the training session with these boys and they're overseeing you, just the level of commitment what they want, they would raise it. You know what I'm saying?
Do you think Klopp does that as well, though, to a point?
He's done it, yeah. And he's put his own people in as well to keep that momentum going. So mm-hmm. he has, but unfortunately, Klopp has to deal with what he's dealing with, and he's still dealing with the legacy from Brendan Rodgers.
Okay.
When it's good and he gets it right, it's brilliant.
There's one other player I want to mention who's left the club, Raheem Sterling, who moved to City for the $49 million.
Yeah.
What did you make of that? Again, it seemed to be a falling out with Rodgers saying stupid stuff in the media.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, you know, you've answered your own question, really. Yeah, I think they've had Raheem Sterling play at the football club, and what a dynamic that would have been alongside Jordan Ive. And there's another youngster somewhere within our ranks, you know, who's just as good as Jordan Ive. I can't think of his name at the moment. But he's potentially very, very good. But would you write what you're saying, Anthony? Yeah, he fell out with Brendan Rodgers. Rodgers blew the whole deal by saying, you know, Liverpool Football Club can't afford to lose you. And he went, oh, really? And then what? Well, come back. And then the way he was played, we had Irini, we had Balotelli, we had all the lad who went down to West Bromwich, and he looked back to Ricky Lambert, who looks like he's back enjoying his football when he gets a chance.
Mm-hmm.
Smile on his face. But we had them on the bench when we were playing Rackham Steel and front against Chelsea, and we got a 1-1 draw at the in the Capital Cup semi-final of the season. And Rackham Steel, he knows. I mean, he's going up against the centre-half there, who's just going to go right through him and break his legs eventually.
Yeah.
Raheem Sterling likes to play on the right, he likes to cut inside, and he likes to play the game there. And Liverpool Football Club were ruining him. They ruined him. And he wasn't happy about the position he was playing. He let that be known. There were people there, the so-called centre-forwards, that could have been picked and played, but no, Rodgers wouldn't have that. Too many times did Rodgers play with just one person up front. Sometimes he never played with anybody up front because he prepared to play with midfielders.
Okay.
Up front. Which was a joke, so I don't blame Raheem Sterling at all for going. Alright, he's not having a great spell at City at the moment. He started quite brightly. The kid's only a very young kid. He's got loads of potential there. I wish Lara well, to be perfectly honest. I think he's a good professional footballer who wants to go out and enjoy his football and to be played in the right position and be surrounded by players of a really decent calibre.
In general, would you say there's animosity towards him from Liverpool fans?
I'd like to shout down any Liverpool fan that would go against Raheem Sterling here, because at the end of the day, the lad was told to do a job for Liverpool Football Club when we had centre forwards there sat on the bench doing nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And he let it be known that he was unhappy with the way he was being picked and what was being asked of him of games. And you could see his body language as he was working so hard to win the ball. There was no one there in any support for him, you know, to really, really help him out.
I guess I can't do this without mentioning Balotelli as well, who had a unsuccessful stint at the club last season.
Again, horses for quarters, isn't it? You know, we're doing to Balotelli, we're doing to so far we seem to be doing to Benteke what we did to Balotelli. You don't just play him up there and say, yeah, well, come and find the ball and go and forward so they can go and this, that, and that's not his game. He doesn't play like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? He likes it with loads of support around him, balls within the box, and he's on the end of
them.
Okay. His career average ain't that great anyway, as far as like, you know, upsetting managers and upsetting dressing rooms and this, that, and that. So I don't think we've lost out really there, Andy, in a sense. Other than we're still paying his wages, we haven't unloaded them yet.
Oh.
Okay, but not one of the the greatest buys, you know.
Of course not.
You know, but you know, but you would think Italian international, Italian centre forward, you know, got to be worth a pump for 13 million quid, you know, or 16 million quid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it didn't work, did it?
No, not at all.
But then, as I say, I felt sorry for him because Brendan Rodgers never picked him to play alongside anybody else. We started the game at Spurs, I seem to remember that season. We started that right, we won the game 3-1. We looked like, wow, we're all dynamic and this, that, the other. Next thing is, you know, stood as close as a sick note then. And then that was it, the whole season was sort of off.
All right, well, let's have a look at the Liverpool-Newcastle game in a bit more depth. Did you fear for Liverpool before the game, or did you feel confident going into it?
Well, I mean, as I said to you, right from the outset, I looked at the team sheet, and what I feared happened, I felt that if Newcastle sit in and they defend, they look at us, we didn't look as if on the starting 11 that we had, we didn't look like we had a goal on us. We've got to keep Firmino playing alongside Lallana. I thought possibly Origi where he scored a hat-trick in the cup the week. I thought he was well worth at least a start in the game. And you know, it just didn't happen, really. And as I say, as soon as I looked at the team sheet, I sat myself down to watch the match. And it was so predictable. Newcastle did a job. They looked at us. We offered no threat at all. For all the possession we had in front of their goal, we couldn't penetrate, we couldn't get through.
Do you think it was down to that team selection from Klopp then?
Yeah,
or
very much so, yeah.
So what would you have done differently? Who would you have picked instead?
We missed Emre Can yesterday, but I mean, I wouldn't have had... I hate to have it when Lucas and Joe Allen are playing together the five competition.
They both don't look like they didn't. They both were pretty anonymous yesterday. They didn't really get forward. They didn't do anything. The only time I noticed Lucas was when he got booked, like he always does.
Well, I mean, believe it or not, he stood out an awful lot for me for all the wrong reasons. He was laying off passes which weren't connecting. He was giving the ball away. He was found in possession of the ball a couple of times. He even tried to tackle Joe Allen with the ball, and both of them tackled each other, and they made such a comedy of errors that the Newcastle lads just fancied the two of them.
Yeah.
Played it off each other. Newcastle went from literally defending on their 18-yard line when they broke out. They once they actually had the lookers, and they had a couple of forays into midfield. And that's why I started to count early on me, is we had an awful lot of people around the ball, but they were winning the tackles, and they wanted it more.
Yeah, that was it. The Newcastle, they didn't look like that good a team, Newcastle, like in terms of quality, but their performance, they just wanted to win the game. Well, it was that desire, that tackling, their work rate.
It's in a way, where we say, like, we like to get in people's faces and stop them playing football, Newcastle actually did it from defending. We defended deep, and when the ball was passed out and into midfield area, one person went foraging for the ball, and he hunted the Liverpool person down, or the player, and just took it off his toe.
Yeah.
Where the Liverpool shirt had the better option, and more often than not, we tried to play it sideways, and every time we played it sideways, we just won the ball. And when we tried playing it back, it just made it even worse, because we looked like a comedy of errors. We couldn't find each other with a pass. Just draw them even deeper down the field.
Do you think it's fair to say it was the worst performance of the season so far? Like,
definitely.
Because there was other games, but like when you look at the other games you've lost, there was the Crystal Palace game. There was obviously away at United and the West Ham game, but none of them. I don't think you were particularly bad.
Well, if you look at the Crystal Palace game, I mean, they set up again with chances at the time. But, you know, they've got a quick 1-2 there. They're very, very strong, very pacey. And they can literally go from their 18-yard line, kick an on ball, and then onto it like quick, really, really quick. Newcastle didn't do that. What Newcastle did was they held the defensive lines and the midfield held defensively. But when the ball was played not back to the Liverpool end or within the Liverpool midfield area. They only sent one person foraging for the ball, and once that one person won it, and won it convincingly, you know, they were literally them coming out, you know what I mean? It wasn't as if they group one up and down the far end and sent some fella just over up on his own until Cavalier arrived.
Yeah.
Like the way Palace did, you know what I mean? Palace, that's their game. If Palace want to hold on to something, they can do that. And of course, once he's sitting, did exactly the same to us, but tried to play a little bit more football, Swansea. And as I said, we got fortunate with a penalty against them. But you know, you take your look in the game. Same as within the Newcastle game, the disallowed goal that we had put offside was harsh.
It was wrong as well. It was just wrong. There was no argument that it was offside.
Yeah, it was wrong. But then, if you weigh it up, I thought it was a bit harsh that we got a penalty against Swansea.
Yeah.
I thought it was a bit harsh that Ben Teke was so offside in the Capital Cup against Bournemouth a number of weeks ago. His goal stood, and yet they scored a legitimate goal to begin with the game, did Bournemouth. And I thought they didn't give the goal because the one player supposed to put his hand on was on a skate of shoulders or somebody.
Yeah.
It seems so harsh. But you know, you get the look, and if it goes with Chatney, you've got to accept it all the season. You've got to win some, you've got to lose some. Don't forget, you know, if you want to improve yourself as a footballer, work on your first touch and you become literally 50%, you're a better footballer by going out onto your 5-a-side pitches, your 11-a-side pitches, your 6-a-side games. If you concentrate on your first touch when the ball comes to you and you control that ball, whatever pace it comes to you at, and you concentrate on working on that side of your game, and then putting that into your team game, you've already improved yourself as a footballer.
That's
enjoy your.
I'll think about that next time I play 5-a-side. I suppose I hope our young listeners do as well, and our older listeners as well. All right. Well, thanks for your extra views there. We'd really appreciate having you on the show. You can follow us at V2 Football. You can take a listen to the main podcast. There's other fan casts in the series. We've got our final fan cast to follow, which I'm really looking forward to, a season finale special. Thanks for listening and good night.